Hey everybody, it's Tuesday, October 23rd, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey everyone, I got a great show lined up for you tonight. Lots to talk about. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central podcast. Part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha, and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast. Coming to you as live as it can be from historic Ford Island here in Honolulu, Hawaii. How are you? Did everybody have a great weekend? Have a great first day back to work? Well, I hope you did. And of course, all of you that are long-term subscribers of the show, hey, thanks for being part of the Hana, being part of the family here. And of course, if you're checking out the show for the very first time, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com to check out all the great content over there on the blog. Of course, you can check out our archive podcast as well via the podcast link, and make sure you get signed up for our newsletter so that you get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show, so that you can be tuned in to all the great content that I cover tonight during the show, so that you'll have all those links available to you at your handy reference. Hey, how's everyone? Well, I tell you, it's been just totally like no pressure. Everything's, I mean, I can't ask for better. Just like for last week's been perfect. It really, really has. And I've had some time to really kind of, I mean, really throttle back, decompress. Meanwhile, at the same time, staying busy. It's really, to be honest with you, it's been really, really good. I do want to take a few minutes here. And of course, my heart goes out to any of you that are in the Los Angeles or San Diego region where all these terrible fires are going on. It's, of course, being the headline news here as well. So we've been watching what's been going on, and a lot of it's, you know, a lot of actual radio commentary as well about it. So I hope that if there's any of the Ohana in those affected areas, that your families are safe, and then of course I hope that your property is not damaged as well. So we'll be I'll be thinking about everyone out there, and gosh, terrible thing, it really, really is. But Mother Nature can be pretty naughty when she wants to be. That's 100% a fact. It doesn't matter where you're at, you can be affected by something that turns one's lives upside down. Well, what's going on here? Well, a lot of cool things. Friday, met with my realtor and a house inspector, and spent 3 hours climbing through the rafters, looking underneath the house, looking into electrical sockets, and finding out what worked and what didn't work in this new house. And we had a pretty good report come out of that. But while we were there, my wife, she brought a tape measure with her, and her father measured all of the rooms. And now she has already got a working blueprint, although it be on an 8.5 by 11 and a paper, and she is planning away. And I keep telling her, honey, don't get too excited until we sign on the dotted line. It's not ours. But she is fully enthralled. Now, I must admit, she did the drawings of the new what's going to be my new studio. And that has put me to thinking a little bit as well. And I'm definitely going to be changing up the office structure. And, yeah, it's going to be pretty exciting to be able to have a room that I'm going to have permanently, that I'm going to be able to mess around with. And so I'm making some time myself here in the next week or so to kind of do a layout of where all the gear is going to be. And I'm going to have a video workstation. That is one thing that is been missing in this office layout that we have. It's really doesn't work out to where I've got everything set up, but I'm going to have a separate desk where I'm going to have a video workstation, which I think will come in really, really handy and allow me to have a little more flexibility with my desk instead of having a bunch of computers stacked on top of it. But So all things are continuing to move forward here. The banker actually called me and said, "Do you want to close early? We've got, you know, this thing's in progress. You have ordered the survey. And if everything goes right, we should be able to get in anywhere between November 15th and the end of the month." So I've actually got to get with my movers to find out when they're actually going to be able to come in here and move me and plan that so that we can be moving out at the same time we're moving, you know, we scheduled to move in within a 2 or 3 day time frame. But yeah, it's kind of cool things going on there. So making some plans with that. Of course, this week I am going to be leaving late. I think it's Thursday afternoon to go out to PodCamp Boston. So I haven't 100% decided what I'm going to do yet, but there will be two shows this week. I may actually record the show Thursday morning. We'll see. We'll see what happens. You're going to get a second show this week, but it's going to come at a little different time. But I definitely want to make sure we get two shows out. It's been too many weeks here in the last month or so that I haven't been able to do two shows in 1 week, but I'm not going to leave you all hanging this week. There will be a second show. But if any of you are going out to PodCamp Boston, I definitely want to hear from you. Jeff Hines, my content director, is going to be out there with me. So him and I will be available to anyone. If you're out in the Boston, greater Boston area and want to meet with us, definitely send us an email. Jeff's kind of heading that up. You can send an email to Jeff at content@rawvoice.com, and he'll put you in the schedule, or at least know that you're going to be out there and want to meet with us. Of course, you can always send me a private email as well if you want to, of course, yourself. Now, I've been doing some thinking, and I think maybe I ought to get you all involved in this move as well. And what I'm looking for is not necessarily, I don't know if I want to do a whole new theme song or new intro. Actually got an email from Dave over at the Audio Collective, and he said, "I'm looking forward to your new theme song." I'm like, you know, Dave, you guys, you know, your wife's on the, your wife's been the voice of the Geek News Central podcast for a while, and haven't quite thought what I want to do. So, Dave, if you're listening, or anyone else for that matter, definitely send me an email, and I will send you the top secret, the rhyme that I kind of have in my head on how I want to do the opening for the new podcast, when actually the new GNC opening when we move to the new location. And if you're serious about working on a theme song with us, let us know, or theme intro, I guess that's probably the better way to say it. So I'm excited about putting something together. One way or the other, it is going to be different. Oh, that's for sure. All right, what else have I got on my little mini list here? Oh, I do want to, I've gotten a couple of emails from folks saying, "Hey, Todd, do you want me to help work with you on your 24-hour show?" And I'm quite frankly, I'm trying to figure out when we're going to do it. It's been with PodCamp Boston coming up, with Blog World Expo. It's going to be 2 weeks in a row that I'm going to be on the move. So I've got to figure a time that this will work out and work into the schedule. Still planning on doing it, just haven't figured out when. Okay, today two very special things happen. And the first one is in conjunction with the one laptop per child money raising that we've been doing. I had emailed Matthew. He is one of the bloggers that has been blogging on Geek News Central. And I had said to him, "Matthew, hey, it's been a little over a month now that you've been blogging. How many articles have you written so that I can, you know, send you some money?" Because him and I had an agreement that he was going to be blogging for essentially for pay. And he came back and emailed me and said, "Hey, here's the total. And why don't you put the entire amount towards the one laptop per child giveaway that you're working in?" I was, you know, I'm really, really was shocked. And Matthew's contribution is equal to $180. So we are definitely at the point now where I can tell all of you that had pledged to donate money towards this to go ahead and send your pledges in. And the way we're going to do this, if everyone would, if you feel comfortable doing it via PayPal, send the pledge money to podcast@podcastconnect.com. That's the PayPal account, podcast at podcastconnect.com. Podcast Connect is the company that I do business under, in which I pay taxes under for Geek News Central, and also run the podcast awards under. So if you'll send those donations again to podcast at podcastconnect.com, then as they come in, I'm going to put together some sort of a little tote board and show on the website somewhere how, you know, basically where the donations came from. And I'm not necessarily going to put the amounts for each person. I don't think that's necessarily fair to do, but definitely want to recognize everyone that is going to pledge. We may, depending upon how much of the pledge money comes in, if we continue to raise money here over the next couple of weeks, we might be able to do two laptop per child giveaways. So my plan here is that definitely we've got enough money now to order one, and which will give us a second one free according to what they're going to do with this promotion in November. And what we'll do with the second one is we will, those that pledge, we will put each of them names into a randomizer. It's a site I've used in the past. And we'll pick the random winner from the pledges to decide what they want done with the second laptop. If they want it for themselves, or if they want, you know, whatever they want to do with it, we will oblige. But definitely want to get the pledge money starting to come in. So it's podcast at podcastconnect.com via PayPal. And I will definitely be, you know, posting some stuff on the website or doing something. I got to figure out a way how I'm going to display it. But I want to thank all of you that have pledged. Terrific that we're going to be able to buy at least one. And we'll continue to go here for a while. And if we get some more donations, definitely we can we very easily make two. So thanks to all of you for being very generous. I definitely appreciate it. Now, moving on here, and I'm looking at my notes. I've got something here. What does it say? Oh, I want to talk about Sony. Sony came to the house today because we had a broken Sony appliance. And I had actually called them. It was actually a Best Buy item that we had an extended warranty for. And I called Best Buy, and they said, oh, yeah, we'll have the Sony rep come out. And I'll be amazed. It was probably the best customer support tech call I have ever had. Generally, I have to go through, you know, 25 different calls to get people out. But I called on Thursday. The Sony folks called me back on Friday. The tech arrived promptly early this morning. Was in and out of here in an hour and fixed my equipment so it was like just like brand new. And he came, the part that he actually had to replace, I asked him how much it was, and he had brought one with him because they had kind of had an idea what was going on, was an $1,100 replacement part. Didn't have to sign nothing, didn't have to, I mean, I was shocked. I mean, it was quite literally the best tech support I've ever had. So, again, this was a product that was bought from Best Buy with an extended warranty from Best Buy, and the Sony rep came. This guy actually worked from Sony. So as much as I bashed on Sony here over the last year or so, or maybe 2 years now, I definitely have to say that, wow, amazing, amazing service. I want to give a big shout out to Chris. Chris is helping me out with a problem I had on a CGI problem I had on a new CentOS server that I was working on. What we're doing right now is that the current website that Geek News Central runs on is running on Fedora Core 2, and it's quite an old version of Fedora Core. And I quite honestly needed to get it upgraded to a more recent revision of Linux. And you can go ahead and automatically apply to have the machine reprovision. But basically what it does is it strips the machine. Well, this server is coming up for renewal in December. So I said, well, you know, what's easier? You know, do I want to be under a lot of pressure, or do I just want to go ahead and let me go ahead and buy another server? And then what I will do is over the next couple weeks, I'll move the websites over and I'll have no pressure really. And then when the renewal time comes up on the server that is currently driving the website, I'll just let it expire and we'll be on a new box. So that's exactly what I'm doing. So if you see any quirks in the system over the next couple weeks, send me an email, because it is a big, big job moving everything over. All the data's moved. I just got to get the databases synced up, and then once that's done, we'll flip the switch. But a couple more things have to happen in process. But anyway, I've talked enough here, and I got a lot of great content for you tonight. So I don't know what we're going to do about a roundtable with me heading off to PodCamp Boston. So I'll probably have to do something after I get back. And I would imagine, looking here at the calendar, let me see if it'll actually open up. I've got a lot of stuff going on. Probably be the first weekend in November, which would be a week from this coming Saturday. So we'll probably do something the first week of November for our next roundtable. So I hope that you'll absolutely schedule in your schedule books a time to join us for that event. And, of course, that's going to be hosted by our sponsor, GoToMeeting. And you'll definitely want to check out how we hold these online events. It's an actual feat to be seen how the power of this application allows you to have this great interactive session and switch between different presenters. And many times the presenters are in different countries. And, you know, the absolute ability to host this meeting is it couldn't be accomplished without GoToMeeting. And you can try it yourself for free for 30 days just by visiting gotomeeting.com/tech podcast. That's gotomeeting.com/tech podcast. Try GoToMeeting free today. Along with that, for some reason, I was searching around and got some info on some new products that are getting ready to be announced by GoDaddy. And so we hopefully have some new promo codes for you here soon on some new hosting stuff. So also, I want to let you know that be careful about some of the codes out there some of the other people are promoting, because they're promoting like these big discounts on some products, but they're only very limited usage. So make sure you check the restrictions on each of those codes when you're checking out. Now, of course, if you want to use one of our codes, I definitely hope and encourage you to do so, because you too can make an impact online with GoDaddy.com. They have what you need in domain names, hosting accounts, virtual dedicated servers, you name it, they've got it. And you can save a lot of money by going through GoDaddy. Use the promotion code TODD when you check out, and it'll save yourself 10% on your order. Or you can go and use the code GEEK5, and that'll save you 15% on your order of $20 or more. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Some restrictions apply. See site for details. One last little thing before we continue on here. Can any of you tell me if you're seeing the shows being delayed getting to you? Because I saw something kind of interesting 2 shows ago. I saw a drop in 2 shows in a row in the audience numbers. And it was a significant drop for just 2 shows. And then on the subsequent shows, the numbers came right back to where they normally were. And I was thinking, who missed the shows and why? What happened? Did someone not get a show? If you guys go back through your iPods and look at the sequencing numbers, now you'll probably see I made a mistake in the naming sequence, where there's a couple of, I believe, 309s is where I made a mistake. But look at the dates and see if you have anything out of sequence in your iPods or on your media players, because I think some of you missed a couple of shows somewhere. I don't really know why, but you know, the numbers are back, but it's kind of weird to see a dip like I did in 2 shows in a row. But let me go ahead and get into the content tonight. Got a stack of stuff here. I really, really do. And it wasn't a super busy Monday, but I have got some stuff to really get off my chest. 2 primary things are already up on the website at geeknewscentral.com, but we really have to talk about it. And I think the first thing is I should go back and talk about what happened to me this weekend. On Friday night, I attended a book launch party here in Honolulu. And at that party, I met a marketing person from a search engine optimization startup. We had a great conversation. And while he wouldn't tell me a lot about what they were doing in the space, he did kind of indicate to me that there's some gamesmanship going on in using blogs to drive traffic to specific sites for the specific purpose of driving rankings on Google. he wasn't specifically referring to tech. He was talking about an overall strategy for the company. And while I'm not really going to go too much more into what he told me, based upon, you guys can read what's on my website. But at the same point, I got to thinking while I was driving home, was that many of us tech bloggers out there have been using the website TechMeme for a while, TechMeme.com. And it's probably one of the first or second sites I've loaded in the morning for a long, long time. And generally, I'll find two or three hot stories that are going on there. I'll read about them, think, oh, they've gotten covered real good, and not necessarily writing any articles to them. But I've read some other conversations going around on the net where it looks like the public relations people have kind of figured out how to work the system. So what they have done, and what I'm assuming is being done, and I'm not accusing anyone here of getting paid to play, but it may be just at least not in the tech side, but I know what's going on in this search engine optimization group. I think the bloggers are getting paid to do this. But anyway, at least on the tech side, I think the PR people have figured out that there are a handful, maybe a dozen top tech bloggers who are A-list bloggers. So when they have an embargoed content story, in other words, if they say, okay, please do not release anything about this story until, let's say, 7 a.m. Pacific time on Wednesday. Well, they prepare those stories. Those A-list bloggers can get their stories prepared in accordance with what they've been fed from the PR people, maybe some early access to a website or a review. And generally, those A-listers don't write a lot of negative articles. And when they do, they're not super critical of it, at least in my personal opinion. But what I think I'm seeing here is happening is, and what I'm assuming is happening, is because the A-listers have been pre-fed the story, what may be happening is that PR people may be coming in behind and talking to a B-rank. In other words, the B-listers, B and C-listers, supposedly. That's kind of what they call tech blogs, and that's probably where Geek News Central fits in as a B or C ranked tech blog, is that they feed us PR stuff. And I mean, I get hundreds a day, so a lot of it gets ignored. But many times I'll get stuff where they'll ask for an embargo. So what if they feed me the embargo story for like 8:30 in the morning? So you can't say anything until 8:30. Well, I get my stories ready, and then at 7 a.m., the A-listers pop their story. And, of course, we're all watching what's going on in the sphere, many of us hour by hour. And so let's see, I see the article up on TechMeme already that's in reference to the article I'm going to release at 8:30. And I'm going to say, oh, someone's beat me to it, so let me go ahead and point at that source article. And there's kind of this pile-on effect. And it doesn't necessarily have to be something that the PR people have fed me, but because people want to, get their name and their blog on that list, there's this pile-on effect, which is a PR person's dream, because it really causes them to get this super focused articles back to a couple of central points that really build them some Google juice. And it's smart for them to do that. Well, I think before TechMeme was around, before there was other sites that really kind of tracked the top stories of the day, most of us read a bigger blogging list. And I used to read on a daily basis about 600 blogs. I had about 100 that were frontline that I always read. And then there was probably the other 500 that I got through, as the day went on. And maybe I didn't read them every day, but there was, generally about 100 blogs that I would read. And I noticed that I have not been reading as much in Feed Demon, because I've been going to TechMeme and look and see what the latest stories are. And I miss a lot of stuff. So I've kind of resolved myself, at least, to read more in the morning from the feed reader to find out what a broader base of people are saying. And I think if we can encourage other tech bloggers to kind of look back and maybe change the way they're talking about stuff on the net, it may help the amount of, the stories, have a wider base. But at the same point, what will happen is that there won't be this gang up effect on one, all the traffic being pointed at one blog. And so the PR agents, maybe if they are specifically trying to game the system, would break that gamemanship, but it may not. But anyway, check my post out. It's gotten a lot of comments. I think we're up to 16 comments online. It's entitled Why Tech Blogging is Broken. Goes into it in a little heavier detail. Of course, now is a story that just makes the old, makes me just get mad, and it's about Comcast. And if you have been, if you've had your head in the sand all weekend, you haven't seen this, but Comcast has essentially been caught red-handed. It's been proven, and this was an article out by the AP, followed up by the Electronic Frontier Foundation, all talking about how Comcast was blocking some BitTorrent action. And essentially, they would allow users to download content into their BitTorrent clients. Then when the BitTorrent client got ready to seed the actual file, in other words, help give back from what they've just downloaded, and, you know, share, you know, again, help use your bandwidth to help, you know, push this file around. It looks like Comcast is interceding and intercepting those packets. And as they have come out officially today and said, they've said, oh, we're not really, what was the exact statement? That we're not really, and I don't have it in front of me, I should. But in essence, they admitted to like traffic shaping and delaying some actions. Well, this is this goes against every facet of net neutrality that's out there. They are taking a look at traffic, whether it be legitimate BitTorrent traffic, and I use BitTorrent on a daily basis to move legitimate files around, not movies, not MP3 stuff, but, you know, legitimately move big files, PDF files, different things that we're working on, and stuff that I own the copyright to, or my company owns the copyright to. And here they are now blocking a legitimate protocol on the internet, or packet shaping it, or delaying it. So they're giving a much higher priority to other traffic, and they're trying to limit the amount of upstream traffic that's coming out of clients' computers. If you are a Comcast customer, you really need to look at what's going on and get educated on this very, very quickly. And you need to protest. I mean, take out some wood, make a sign, and go and stand in front of Comcast and protest. Because I don't think the majority of people out there have a clue on what they're doing. So you're definitely, if you're a BitTorrent user, they are, you know, they're not living up to their expectations of what their service should be. And they are going against net neutrality. They're packet shaping the traffic for their network. Under the pretense that a small number of people are abusing the system. This is ridiculous. It really, really is. Well, the EFF has determined that they're probably blocking some other commercial applications too. Some Lotus applications, and I think there was one other. And, you know, if they're going to, and this is something announced too, if Comcast is policing their traffic, this opens them up to a whole can of worms because, you know, ISPs have been protected all this time from lawsuits because they basically said, hey, we're not looking at the traffic. It's just zeros and ones coming in. We're not looking at what people are doing with their media, what they're getting in their email, what they're sending in their email. But essentially, they're packet sniffing now. And they're arbitrarily blocking stuff that's leaving your computer. If this was a action done by a hacker, then that person could get prosecuted for doing what Comcast is doing. They're stepping in between you. They're basically, you know, imagine you're driving down the road, and they have they're standing out in front of you with a stop sign. But the bad part of this is not only are they standing there with a stop sign, they take a copy of whatever you have originally sent them, and they reformulate it in another way and send it the other way to the other traffic on the other side and tells them to stop too. So effectively holding the traffic up in the middle of the road, your BitTorrent traffic's being held up. Meanwhile, all the other traffic continues to move. Email, regular web traffic, FTP, anything else that's, you know, news, whatever else is being moved on the internet is moving along. Meanwhile, here's Comcast standing out in the middle of the street with a stop sign. And because your system is not prepared to have seen that stop sign, seeding fails. And those of you that are familiar with seeding will understand the importance of it. There are some workarounds that people are talking about, encrypting the file and running through a VNC and some stuff that you can do that basically will overcome the filters, at least for the time being, of what Comcast has in place. And the sad part of this is Comcast is a monopoly in many areas. Many of you don't have a choice, at least a high-speed internet choice. You may be able to get dial-up service or something wherever you're at, but it definitely is not a substitute for high-speed internet. So this is dirty pool. It really, really is. And this is why we need some sort of congressional legislation that goes out and slaps the living heck out of Comcast for doing what they've done. They have basically opened a Pandora's box. And you mark my words here, folks. All the other ISPs are going to be quick to follow because they're going to say, oh, Comcast is doing it. We can do it too. I mark my words. This is what's going to happen next. I'll bet you, just watch. If you guys think someone else is going to do it, we ought to have a running pool here, kind of a friendly pool. I mean, I'll keep a tally. You all tell me which internet service provider is going to be doing this next. Is it going to be AT&T? Is it going to be Time Warner? Who's it going to be? Let's do a running poll, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. I'll keep a tally here. You guys all send me your, make it real easy. Just send me a reply, BitTorrent blocker in the subject, and put the company name. That's all I really need from you here, and we'll run a tally, and we'll see what happens in the next coming months. And I'll tell you my choice on the next show. geeknews@gmail.com. Tell me what you think about Comcast. Are you a Comcast customer? Do you use BitTorrent? Is this affecting your way of using that product? Are you using it for legitimate purposes? Are you using it to download movies that you've missed? I don't care what you're using it for. It's your business, right? So tell me what you think about this. Does Congress need to step up? Do we need to have some consumer rights and protection here? Or do we just need to protest? Do we need to go hold up a sign and march in front of their offices and get on national news to show what this company has done and the absolute tragedy in it? All right, I'll stop. And I'll move on because I've got a lot of other stuff for you tonight. But geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline, 619-342-7365. Okay, at the Web 2.0 Summit, there's a really good interview with Steve Ballmer of Microsoft. And it's actually over on Blip TV. I have a link to this in the show notes. But this is a good interview by Steve Ballmer. Some of you may not like Steve. And he does come off kind of crazy sometimes, but this was a good one, really was. I really enjoyed the interview. I watched in its entirety. So take a chance on this and check it out. Those of you that are Apple lovers, you may actually Mac users, you may get a little information out of this from you as well. Well, a little bit of news from, remember we talked about how Greenpeace was really down on Apple. Well, it appears that Greenpeace has responded to the alarmist claims, admitting that targeting Apple was for grabbing headlines. So this is no surprise here. And there's a pretty good article over on Gizmodo that talks about some of the inaccuracies in the initial Greenpeace claim. So I think this one here will make some of you smile and make some of you continue to shake your head about what's going on in the environmental movement. You know, some of their stuff is good, so, they're all trying. But, boy, I tell you, they really come off base sometimes. They really do. Okay, got some pretty cool things I found as well for the guys tonight. In the cool things I found, you'll find that in the show notes. I won't talk about it in the show, but found a couple pretty good links. And I'll have, again, I'll have those up at the bottom of the show notes. First two things there, continue to move on here. Those of you that are using a WordPress blog, if you want some tips on how to survive a dig, and if you ever had a big dig day, in other words, where 4,000 or 5,000 people come into your website, you'll definitely want to look at this article on surviving the dig effect on WordPress. So quite honestly, though, most servers should be able to handle the dig effect. You know, it's just not that, well, a lot of servers go down, but it'll be worth checking out anyway if you think you're going to be putting up a juicy article that may get a lot of action. Got a real cool NASA picture as well. And, you know, there's just, if nothing else, the International Space Station should have a camera that's pointed at Earth and does nothing but takes a picture like every couple of minutes and has that downloaded and made accessible to everyone that is on the internet. I think this is just such an amazing, you know, we've spent billions and billions of taxpayer dollars to support this thing. The least they could do is give us a live, if nothing else, a live video feed or a live, you know, updating picture feed that we could continue to update our, you know, something that would be cool that would run in the background that would update our, you know, our backgrounds. Wouldn't that be cool to have a background that would update every 10 minutes from a new picture from the International Space Station? I think that would just be awesome. Now, I'm sure NASA, you know, the bandwidth overhead to do that would be pretty high. But, hey, you know, they're sending a lot of data back and forth. What's some JPEGs, you know? Come on, let's NASA, let's do that. And if that's some resources available, let me know, because I definitely don't know that it is available. But I got a great picture for you. That'll be in the show notes tonight. Those of you that live in New York City, well, I guess these taxi cab drivers have not been happy with the GPS tracking. They went on strike again. So I guess that went on, it started this morning, 5 a.m. Eastern. And I guess it'll be back to normal tomorrow. But I think this is a great idea. Having been in New York a couple of times, gotten in some cabs, have no idea where I'm going, and I'm sure I paid twice as much on the meter than I should have. This will just keep these, you know, keep these drivers honest. And who knows, maybe what it will do is improve the transportation system within the city a little bit during rush hours. All right, there's a great website that I found. It's called makeuseof.com. This is a website that has web applications, cool tips, software reviews, and other associated type material. But anyway, there was an article that was on their website today. It's called 13 Bargain Websites That Are Cheaper Than eBay. And I haven't been, half these I've never heard of before. Some I did. Deal Lighted, PastWin.com, Ben's Bargains, Deal Dump, Deal News, Deals Plus, TechDeals.net, SciBuys.com, Jellyfish, I don't know if that's Jellyfish.com, yeah, Jellyfish.com, DealItem.com, DealIg.com, slickdeals.net, and gotadeal.com. So if you want to check some of these out, apparently pretty good sites, and I looked at a couple of them, they look pretty good. So if you're shopping around looking for coupons and so forth, looking for good deals, definitely add this list of websites to your favorites list. That way you'll be able to shop around when you're looking for stuff as you're getting ready to do. And if you probably already are starting to do your Christmas shopping. You know what? I was in Lowe's on Friday afternoon. Okay, here it is. This is after we left the inspection of the house. My wife is like, I know what kind of blinds I want, honey. I'm like, oh, you do? She says, yes, I'm going to go to Lowe's and see how much they cost. Well, we went into Lowe's, and they didn't have what she wanted, so I'm sure there's going to be some special order thing that's going to hurt my checkbook considerably. She may have to wait a while after I pay the the escrow fee and the bank, but when we were in there, I came around this corner, and there was Christmas decorations, trees, lights, yard stuff already out for display. You know, is it my imagination, or are they like putting this stuff out earlier every year? It's October. It's not Thanksgiving. Is not. I mean, not Thanksgiving. Halloween is not even over, and they got Christmas stuff over out. Give me a break. I mean, I just like, I don't want to see that yet. At least, please get Halloween finished, and let's get a couple. Let's get like a week before Thanksgiving before we put all this stuff out. I'm not. How many of you are sick and tired of seeing the Christmas stuff out in October? When's it going to be next? September? Let's forget it. Let's leave it out year round. I'm serious. I couldn't believe it. She looked at me. I looked at her. I was like, turn the card around. We need to get out of here. But my father-in-law, who's they're leaving actually tomorrow. Not tomorrow, day after tomorrow. They were in there too, and he's just fascinated with Lowe's. They don't have such a thing as Lowe's or Home Depot's in Japan. And they just, you know, not at least where they live. And he's just amazed, you know, going in and he's looking at the prices of stuff and the differential, the deltas in price is so astronomically huge. He just like, gosh, I ought to load some of this stuff up and I could put it in my suitcase and still pay custom and still have it cheaper. But anyway. Enough on that. Chris Brogan put a pretty good post up, 100 pod camp topics for you to cover. So if any of you are thinking about going to a pod camp or you're getting ready to organize one, this is about just a pretty good one, top 100 list of different subjects that could be covered during a pod camp. All right, there's another. Oh, very cool news. We're not going to talk necessarily about Apple's earnings, but we are going to talk about an Apple estimate. Apple estimates that 250,000 iPhones were sold to SIM unlockers. Well, guess what, Apple? I definitely know there was at least one. And I'm happy to say it's still running T-Mobile, and it does have a updated firmware. So, yes, I'm one of the 250,000, but they're saying that... there was 250,000 iPhones out of how many, like 1.3 million that were sold with the intention to unlock. So you can tell why, you know, that's serious dinero that's not going into Apple's pockets because we're not on AT&T. And just think about the big number of T-Mobile customers that probably turned on Edge. I'm going to be very curious to see how big of an increase T-Mobile had on customers using their Edge service. That will really tell you the take-up, how many people were doing it. I'm sure many of the phones went overseas as well. People bought them to take them in other countries and have them unlocked. Okay, those of you that have kids, teenagers at home that are blogging, you'll definitely want to take a look at this article. It's actually a NBC affiliate. I guess it's Washington, WESH.com. Is this the Seattle NBC affiliate, Channel 2, I guess? But the title of this is, it's Orlando News. Oh, that doesn't make any sense. You think W would be like, anyway, WESH.com has got an article talking about parents pay for children's online postings. And apparently parents are getting fired, arrested, for what their kids are posting on their blogs and different websites. So if you are got kids that are that age, if nothing else, well, if you've got a rebellious teenager, maybe you don't want to show them this. But they're saying that kids are posting stuff about their parents, holding a kegger for them or... Yeah, the father was, fake getting sick for a vacation, you know, whatever it may be. And, father lost his mortgage because of the kid said is the father's job was in jeopardy, you know, just all kinds of stuff here. So pretty crazy, really, really crazy here. So, I would read through this, and if you've got anything going on at home that you really don't want going on the internet, make sure your kids know that, blogging that or posting it on their MySpace account, wherever it may be, could have very detrimental effects to the home life and to their ability to actually be online. So this is really important here, folks. It really, really is. And I think the damage that could be done through an innocent comment could be very, very significant. And this is something I haven't thought about before. And I don't have kids that are blogging or MySpace age yet, at least here at home. At my house, my 17-year-old is, but I think it's a good point for me to point out to her while she's in Florida that, and I've already talked about her blogging effect, what it could have on her future, but haven't ever thought about what it could have on her mom's, that's for sure. All right, Canon has a prototype microcam for your index finger, and I'm thinking to myself, would I really wear a ring on my finger? It's called the Canon Snap. And we don't know if this is ever going to make the market shelves or not, but it's definitely something that Canon has a prototype of. So check that out. Talk about like a little spy camera almost. But very interesting design, and I'm sure the geeks all out there would all want one. I guess it would all depend on how good the pictures were. That's for sure. You know, the Russians have been doing a great job sending people to the International Space Station. They've been been heavy lifter to bring lots of supplies up. They were, basically kept the ISS in business when the space shuttle was grounded for all that time. But many people don't realize that the launch facility is in Kazakhstan. And they're looking at when the space shuttle is retired in 2010, there's probably going to be a 4 to 5 year period where there is going to be no heavy lift capability. In other words, AKA shuttle type lift capability by the United States. So they're looking at this Soviet spaceport to continue to be the heavy lifter for the United States during the time that we don't have a space shuttle. They're saying it takes about $100 million to keep the facility open and running, and that the Russians that man it are doesn't matter if it's rain, snow, or shine. Just like the postman, they can keep the rockets launching, and they've been very remarkable and steadfast. So, but you know, as I got to thinking about this a little bit, doesn't it just set us up? You know, with you look what's going on in the news today with Putin. You know, he could very well, even though Kazakhstan's its own, you know, they're their own independent country now, they still are under major control, not control, but influence by the homeland, what used to be the homeland. And I wonder if if the Russians got testy at some point, if it could affect, you know, our ability to get in there and use that facility. I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know enough on the politics on the matter for sure. But they're saying that, they're the ones that's going to keep the United States with people in the International Space Station for about 4 or 5 years between the time the space shuttle is retired. So got some kind of quirky pictures of the area. And it's in this like no man's land in Kazakhstan. So check these out if you're interested. Okay, the RIAA, not surprising, is fight to avoiding attorney fees in another dismissed piracy lawsuit. They're looking like they're trying to deny $220,000 worth of lawyer's expenses. It's going back to a federal judge in a U.S. district court to review their motion. And also he's looking at the fees, and he could rule any time on whether or not they're going to have to pay. But they're basically claiming that if they're allowed to pay, this could fuel this lady's, fuel her right to go and do a class action lawsuit on this. Now, they have paid, they've only paid once before, and that was back on August 16th, where they had to pay $68,000 to litigate the cost to two Oklahoma women whose cases were dismissed. So, very interesting to see what's going on there. We'll keep an eye on that, keep you informed, of course. There's Dave Weiner released today a new way to view the news. And, you know, Dave is always messing with RSS and different ways to mash it all together. And he's using some functions of RSS and OPML to give you an outline of the news. And what it does, it's a very unique way. And all I'm going to do is I'm going to have you guys go over there and take a look at it. And it's based on keywords, and it links in stuff with those keywords, and it's very chronological. It's very, very interesting. And what Dave says here, it says, a flat, completely chronological view of news probably isn't enough. And earlier this month, a meeting in New York, two engineers at the New York Times set me off in a new direction with a very simple bit of advice. They had applied a taxonomy to their news flow, and this opened the door to what I'd like to show you today, an outline view of the news. So they're using a taxonomy, in other words, a keyword, to have this new experiment, which is it's not necessarily a river, but he's preferring to call it a real simple navigation. And very interesting in the way it's outlined. And I'll have the link up to the GigaOM review article along with the link to Dave's website and that he's got this up on. All right, the new Zunes are coming apparently around November 13th. And this is from some print mag stuff that they saw. So the new Zunes are going to be available. Lots of podcasting support coming at that time as well. So you should be excited about it. I am. We're keeping an eye on the Zune blog, which Rob Greenlee is starting to post to over there. Well, Rob Greenlee's the new face at Microsoft and at Zune for the podcasting support. So I actually posted on my website, a congratulatory note to Rob, and look forward to see what he has in affecting things over there at the Zune community. They're in good hands. I'm glad Rob's over there. I really am. Rob and I think a lot alike. So, well, for whatever that's worth, that's good in my opinion. Okay. Walt Mossberg, boy, this guy has a pretty good reach of people, and he essentially has posted a video on the Wall Street Journal website that's basically saying, please release me, let me go. And this is talking about the cellular companies needing to open up not only the iPhone, but other phones as well. Really, we're really backwards here in the United States. If any of you travel outside of the United States ever, and you go to Japan, you go to Europe, wherever you go, and you get friendly with someone that's local, and you can look at their phone, most of the phones come unlocked, and they don't come, all locked down with applications. You can easily get stuff in and out of them. And, why are we here in the United States, the most technologically advanced country in the world? That I'm sure some of you may say that's not the case. But why in the world are we so far behind the times where we still have handsets and different items that are locked down the way they are? I think most of you know the answer is about control, but isn't it about time we really, really start demanding, just outright demanding that something be done about this? I think Google is doing a good thing, and they really, they basically have stuck their neck out there on this 700 megahertz deal and said it needs to be open, and it very well could drive the change naturally. But this is a great video. Watch it. And if you don't get it, send me an email. I said, Todd, I don't get it. I really don't. Now, Samsung. I've never been a huge fan of Samsung televisions, but I have to admit, I do like their flat screens. I've got two flat screens here. I got a SyncMaster 215 TW. And they're demonstrating right now, or displaying, a new Samsung 40-inch TFT LCD. But check this out. It is just hear this correctly, 1 centimeter thick. Simply amazing. This thing's beautiful. It's absolutely gorgeous. No idea on price yet. But wow, and this is going to go head to head with the Sony screens that are really thin. But I think you'll agree, when you see this monitor, you'll be like, wow, I want one of these on my desk, or hanging on my wall, or wherever it may be. 1 centimeter thick, folks. And they've got They're going to have computer monitors available as well, 10 and 20 inch monitors, and they're going to have the large screen TVs that are 40 inches, and again, as thick as only 1 centimeter. That's it. So very, very cool. Samsung, you're doing a good job winning me over to more of your TV type products versus, yeah, of course, I do like your computer monitors for sure. All right, the Soyuz, the crew at the International Space Station completed their transition, and the Soyuz spacecraft brought the last team home. There was a little bit of a difference in the trajectory in the landing, so there's an investigation going on, but the team got back safe, and I guess they had a little bit higher G-pull than they normally would expect, because they said that the descent was a little bit steeper. It was basically straight down instead of kind of on an angle. Okay, along with, actually, this is not science news, but those of you that are on the high end when it comes to digital photography, there is a new iFi Wi-Fi SD card. The iFi 2GB SD card can wirelessly transfer pics to your computer. Now just got approval by the FCC. So we could expect to see memory cards now coming with wireless capability, which is going to be really cool. If you don't, I hate wires. It's worth buying this thing just not to have another wire on the desk. And to be able to download pictures, from your camera via this wireless card, bring it on. I don't know what it's going to cost, but, those of you that don't like wires, iFi. And let me see if I can see the website here. They actually don't list it, but keep an eye out for this in store soon, so we'll see what happens. Moving on here a little quicker, it appears that big media is starting to pull media off of YouTube in preparation for one of their big launches next week. NBC confirmed that it's pulling its content off YouTube and getting ready for its launch of its service called Hulu. What do you guys think? Think this is going to be, you think people are going to migrate over there and look at that? And be honest with you, this is because I'm being a little bit selfish. I'd like to see all of the commercial stuff completely off YouTube and have YouTube be only new media. I really think it could, I think the opposite. I think it could be beneficial. I'm sure the folks over at Google don't think that. If I want to go watch TV stuff, I'll go over their website. If I want to watch new media, I'm going to go to YouTube. Or I'll go to Blip, or I'll go to these other sites where I don't have to watch same old. So while I'm sure Google doesn't want them to leave, I'm like, great. Good riddance, to be honest with you. That way I don't have to, I don't have to look at that commercial stuff. So what do you think? Think that's going to be a good move? Geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Call the voicemail hotline, 619-342-7365. All right, Verizon is hinting at a significant Fios announcement tomorrow, so we'll keep an eye on that and see what they're going to be announcing. There is some speculation that they're going to be offering some new service levels. So while I wish they would say there's going to be a service here in Hawaii, it is definitely not available yet. Come on, bring it on. I'm ready for it. I really am. Speaking of speed, there's a new Trans-Pacific optical cable that's being laid, and this is one of the bigger cable lays in recent times. The Trans-Pacific Express optical cable will be a reality with a capacity of, check this out, 5,120 gigabytes, a sense is 5.12 terabytes per second, and the groundbreaking work started already. And they're having ships that are leaving multiple areas at the same time. And I guess they're going to, I don't know when the actual turn on of this is, but they're connecting, mainland China, Korea, where else? Two other countries are connecting in. Let's see if I can read where this is going. They're going to Taiwan and where else? Oh, I guess Shanghai. So two places in China. Taiwan and then the Korean Peninsula. So some of you will consider Taiwan, well, the Chinese consider Taiwan as part of China, but I consider Taiwan to be their own thing. So it looks like they're going to be dropping some serious do-re-mi here. $500 million is what it's going to cost to do this, provided by six telecoms. So very, very cool. Nice to see. I wish they were, these pipes were all coming through Hawaii. We have to look and see where the route goes, because a lot of fiber comes through Hawaii just because they have a, you know, an anchor point, and it goes off to Japan and other places. All right, the space shuttle is cleared for a launch today. We will see if they make it off the deck, though. They've got some bad weather here, so we'll keep our fingers crossed. And by the time most of you, I guess it's 11:30 Eastern Standard Time is when the launch is supposed to go down. All right, what else have I got for you here tonight? Oh, I noticed that my RSS feed was starting to show some new warnings. And I made a mistake in my blog by saying they were errors, but essentially they're warnings about format of the way my RSS feed was. My RSS feed's been good for a couple of years. I haven't had to make any major changes. But it appears that Sam Ruby, Roger Cadenhead, all these guys went in and they decided that there needed to be some spicing up of the spec, and they made like 10 changes. You know, I don't know where these guys get off. I really don't. And so what you're going to see is, if your RSS feed's been squared away, if you go over to feedvalidator.org, you're going to see that your feed now has some new warnings. And what, you know, just, you know, if you don't like it, you don't like what they've done, and don't agree with what they've done, you know, speak up about it. There's only a few of us that are willing to actually reach, you know, basically speak up and have our voices heard. And I get beat up every time I complain about it. But the spec is locked. Leave it alone. You know, I don't know if it's just because the Atom protocol has never really taken off. And, you know, even though it has some great ideas, it just, you know, it didn't have the take up. It really hasn't. You know, you see implementations of it here or there. But, you know, I just want to, I'd really like to ignore these guys. But if you're going to be a feed validator, need to have a feed validator that validates towards the original RSS spec, not your made up changes that you think should be put in place. Okay, I guess I need to wrap it up here on content. I have two or three more articles listed in the show tonight, but I do want to get into, I've got a voicemail and then we've got some email comments. So let's go ahead and kick off the voicemail. And as always, send your comments on the show to geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Here's the one and only voicemail for tonight, and then some email.
Hey, Todd, it's Tom calling again. Hey, I just wanted to commend you on your comment about focusing on the positive in the podcasting community. You know what? I think the media is so at fault for pushing the worst news they can down our throats at 10 o'clock each night in 5 or 10 second segments. It's just awful. I mean, I won't even watch it anymore. It's just so bad and poor. I make fun of the news at night when if I do watch it, but how goofy and how unreal that they talk about these bits and pieces of negativity is just unbelievable. But I like your comment about focusing on the positive. I don't think we do enough of that. And I took a class in college. It's a communications course in which, you know, we learned that there once was a newspaper somewhere in the United States who just reported on good news. The reality is it went bankrupt because it just could not support the readership. And, you know, while this does teach us that, you know, as we focus on Britney Spears and her life and tragedies, and the media is really doing that, you know, there are other good stories that do get focused upon. I mean, let me, you know, just run this by you real quick. One of the most popular shows now is Extreme Makeover, where they go into somebody's home and who needs help and creates this beautiful home because they have themselves given to the community or done so much. And so, you know, in the back of my mind, I see that as a small piece of light, a glimpse, a light at the end of the tunnel, that there is room for positive. There's room to focus on that. So anyway, hey, I commend you on that. We do need more positive, absolutely. So I hope everything goes well with your house. Keep up the good work. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks for the comments. I appreciate it. You know, it's funny that you mention Extreme Makeover. I admit the show, they do a great job. And they make all of us dream about, wow, that could be us. You know, and you know, obviously, the families that are having those makeovers are, in most cases, most definitely have some, you know, really deserving. And, you know, for the majority of us, we can't complain. It's something we all can, of course, wish for. But, you know, the Extreme Makeover came to Honolulu and redid a home here. And just do a Google search on the Extreme Makeover Hawaii home makeover. A bit of controversy involved in that. Only in Hawaii can we get controversy over the Extreme Makeover. I swear everything, you know, any business or anything that comes here, it's just like, it's the island way. I don't know what it is. It just kills me. It really does. It's like this own, I don't get it. I really don't. I don't know what drives it. But any of you that have done any study on Hawaii business, I think you'll just sometimes you'll want to pound your head in the concrete because you're like, what are they doing here? And only, again, the Extreme Makeover Hawaii thing had a little bit of controversy. And while I won't go into it, I'll let you guys Google and do it yourself. But Tom, thanks for your comment. And hopefully we can keep it on the positive here. Hey, did get an email from Lena. He said, hey, Todd, that link to the shirtless men was dead. Here's another one. And she provided that for me, so thanks for that. Yeah, it was pretty funny, wasn't it? Got an email from Ken. He says, you have got to be kidding me. And this is basically about an article that came up on ValleyWag with Comcast blocking people's ability to share the Bible via peer-to-peer. So a little more on Comcast from Ken. Got an email from Kevin. He says, I was doing some research on Windows Home Server and discovered your coverage of it. I thought I would suggest you check out Electric Pockets Lobster Tunes at lobstertunes.com, which was just honored by Palm and Microsoft as the winner of the Trio Windows Mobile Challenge, topping over 100 other contenders. Lobster Tunes allows you to stream music directly from your Windows Home Server to your Windows Mobile phone via Wi-Fi or 3G. It comes with an MP3 player for your phone, which allows you to play your entire music collection on your phone, play internet radio stations, find and view album art for all your music. So very cool. And yeah, I'd like to get a copy of this to give it a try. And when we get Windows Home Server here installed, I'm waiting for some software on that. So we'll keep you advised there, Kevin. Appreciate that. Got an email from, this is a pretty long one here. Actually, I got three. And yeah, boy, I tell you what, Jason, you have definitely dropped me some emails here. And I'm only going to cover this real quickly. I'll cover the links you talked to me about. You said on show 3 and 9, you brought up the article on Andy Abramson's blog pointing out the problems that if premise-based video conferencing for most big players like Polycom and Cisco. And he goes on to say that Microsoft has actually addressed this problem with Office Communication Server, is a software-based voice IP and audio video conferencing solution versus a traditional hardware solution like Cisco and Polycom. I work remotely 95% of the time, and we use Office Communication Server for internal one-to-one and one-to-many video conferences and live meeting for external conferences. All I have to do is hook up a webcam and invite someone to a video conference using the Office Communicator client. It also talks about a hardware device from Microsoft called the Roundtable that plugs into a USB port, gives you a 360-degree view of the conference room. And it's here. He said also in here that I'm not reading, I'm using parts of the email. Microsoft is also working with partners to build voice IP phones that connect using USB. This will allow people to make voice IP calls from their remote office using the company's network and PBX for outside calls. Very, very cool. Cool stuff there. Thanks for the email, Jason, on that. And you go on to say also in another email that you said one of the listeners mentioned that you could try Windows Live Mail. You said if there was a desktop client, something just popped up here. I hate that when it happens. Okay, so you said if there was a desktop client for Live Mail, you might try it out. I thought I would let you know that there is a desktop client called Windows Live Mail Desktop, where you can get your Hotmail RSS feeds, excuse me, and POP3 mail. You can save mail locally and keep a copy on the email server too. Don't use Hotmail anymore, but to definitely have POP3 email. So I'll definitely give that. I think I'll give that a look. I just haven't had enough hours in the day to do it. Also moving on here. I'm going to skip a couple of the comments. I do appreciate the additional comments you sent me, Jason. I do appreciate that. Got an email from Jeff. He says that basically let me know about the Comcast issue with them blocking internet traffic. And also something I found very interesting is that Clearwire has launched a PC card for mobile broadband. And he goes on to say, now this is what I'm talking about. I keep hearing about Clearwire and their wireless broadband. While it technically is wireless, meaning that you don't need to run any cables to your house, it's not wireless in the way that we generally use the word wireless, meaning truly mobile. Clearwire to now has had you rely on those base stations for access, which acted as a DSR cable modem if plugged into your wall for power, and you need a switch or hub to share the connection to your home PC. Not really wireless in a modern sense. But now Clearwire is offering a PC card that gives your laptop a connection straight into its WiMAX network. This is truly mobile. You can take your portable anywhere. You have WiMAX coverage and have real broadband access. I would love to have Clearwire make it an option where I could have my base station be in charge or this card. You know, I want to use both for the same service, one at one time, one or the other. Definitely very, very cool. Thanks, Jeff, for that email. Got an email from Robert. Hey, thanks, Robert, for your pledge for the OLPC machine. Got an email. Oh, of course, I already referred to you guys about what Matthew did on donating his earnings. Got an email from Bill out of Indy. He's absolutely not happy with me talking about Abercrombie and Fitch based upon some history that he has on them. And be honest with you, Bill, I didn't have any prior history and know anything about Abercrombie and Fitch. But thanks for your enlightenment there and sending me those emails. Got an email from Ray. Ray, thanks for your OLPC donation as well. Very, very cool. And I got an email from Jeremy. He said, Todd, since you're a big Windows Home Server fan, I thought you might enjoy hearing the efforts that are underway to create a similar solution using Ubuntu. According to ubuntuhomeserver.org, it is not yet an official Ubuntu project. Looks like they're just getting started, but the proposed feature set looks rather impressive. One of their goals, provided clients for Windows, Linux, and Mac OS 10 so that all of the computers on network could back up to one server. Very cool. Yeah, that is very cool. Definitely appreciate it. All right. Wow. We're out of time here. And as always, I want to thank all of you for sending your emails in. And while I try to get all of them read, some of them are just way, way, way too long to read on their entirety in the show. And so, you know, if you keep them to a paragraph, if you can, that works best. And, you know, while I don't want to discount your commentary, I got to try to get everyone else's in. So I hope that you understand that. But anyway, geeknews@gmail.com is for the show comments. And, of course, the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. You'll have a great week. We will have one more show for you definitely this week. I'll be doing the show before I leave for PodCamp Boston. Again, if you're going to be out at PodCamp Boston, drop Jeff, our content director, an email at content@rawvoice.com, or you can send me an email too as well. Let us know that you want to hook up. Definitely want to meet with any one of you that are out there, as well as those of you that are have pledged money for the one laptop per child buy. Definitely send your pledges in now to podcast, your PayPal, via PayPal at podcast@podcastconnect.com. If you don't want to use PayPal, email me and we'll arrange a different payment cycle, but PayPal is going to be the easiest to process here. And again, thanks for all your support. Keep those donations coming in. Let's try to do two, okay? Let's try to do two machines, okay? And I think that would be terrific and show some great community spirit and giving here in a time when we're heading into a giving season. All right, folks, everyone take care. Have a great week. Take care and aloha. Bye-bye.